We're going to turn to the scripture before Hugh comes to share a final message in our little series. We'll be doing a series on the church, and this is the final one today. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes through the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that I, whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Amen. Let's welcome Hugh as he comes.
Morning, everybody. Made me jump. It's my honour to be able to kick off with the first talk here in the church. As David mentioned, we've been looking at this series about church. Think of going to a church like here. But then we discovered that the church is people. It's us lot. It's not the place. So the church goes wherever it goes, and we meet here. And there are seven pictures of God's people: assembly, a body, a work of art, a family, a temple, a bride, and today we're on the last one, the army. And there is a slide, if it's there. How about that? And just to link with what David was sharing last week, what a contrast, these two pictures of church here. Last week it was the bride. Can you get much different than this week being the army? And it speaks to me about the vast variety of people that God welcomes into his kingdom. It's not a special lot, it's a cross-section of humanity, black and white, young and old, tall, small, etc. And you are so welcome in God's house. And that's from Song of Songs, that you are beautiful, my darling, but terrible as an army with banners. So we're looking at the army. May I just move to one side a minute and ask a question? You've heard of the word coincidence. Now, I just got a question, and that is God indicating his approval on us and his blessing by coincidence? I don't know if you can bring the next slide up. Oh, I'll come back to that. Or I'll come on to that. Let me just tell you where I'm going this morning. I'm going to tell you about a coincidence in a minute. But here we go. I want to ask these five questions this morning. This is what I want to ask. And that is, how is God connected to the military? Why might I want to enlist? What are the benefits of army life? How do I get in? Of course, this could also apply to the Air Force or the Navy. And what is required of me if I go in there? Okay. Now bring the next slide up. So my friend Albert, there. Wish he was a friend of mine. But Albert Einstein said about coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. And it just struck me as I was preparing this, a number of coincidences that have occurred. We never planned this to be the last talk on church. And we've moved into the church, and it's very timely in that sense. But the other thing is, of course, the day that we are here is Remembrance Sunday, isn't it? And we're remembering all those who have fought in war. And then I don't know if you saw an article in the tabloids. You could go to the next screen, if possible. Do you know who these two guys are? Well, the Royal British Legion. One's the chairman, one's the vice chair. Church in Leicestershire. The vicar decided, because of the multicultural nature of the of people round about, that they would do that, ban onward Christian soldiers. And these two chaps said, well, you know, if we can't sing it, we're gonna protest. We're gonna stand at the door and sing it outside. And this is happening today. It's just interesting. It's just fascinating. And then last evening, Liz and I, and Ty and Alex, and we met up in Newark at a restaurant because our second son Liam was there with his girlfriend. It's looking a bit serious, I have to say. Anyway, we were there, and you know, meeting up. And I always thought that Liam's name, well, it does, means defender of mankind. But actually, it also means warrior or man of war. And if you knew Liam, you'd know he's quite a defender. He sticks up for people, gets annoyed at things going wrong, you know, when people are unjustly treated and things like that. I thought, goodness me, here's another little connection. And I thought to myself, do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if there's some astronomical phenomena going on as well, to boot. And then I saw on the BBC News, this is a slight liberty I'm taking here, a slight exaggeration, but on the BBC News, what astronomical phenomena has there been? Does anybody know? Yeah, something to do with Venus. Venus is in, this morning, just as the sun was rising, Venus went in front of Jupiter and was in total alignment with the Earth, an astronomical phenomena, but lined up. Now, it's got nothing to do with it. I'm sure God didn't organize that. But it's just a string of things. And I like to entertain the thought. Forget the astronomical thing. I'm not saying that. You know, we're not quite at the level of Jesus where the star shone over him. But God indicating his approval over all that we stand for, over David and Anne-Marie, over the leadership team and the directors, over this venture here. I believe God's indicating his approval and his blessing upon us. So there we are. That's my question, and that's what I think. Okay, so I want to answer that first question. How is God connected to the military? If you go to the next slide, it should come up on there. So it says in Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war, a warrior. The Lord is his name. Psalm 24 and verse 8, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Not only is the Lord a military commander, next slide, he's also a successful military commander. How terrible it was for the German people during the Second World War to have a leader who was a terrible leader. And how wonderful it is if you've got a good leader in a battle and they lead you through to success and glory and victory. A completely different situation. Well, the Lord Jesus is a successful military commander. In Colossians 2, it says that he disarmed the powers and authorities, the powers of darkness, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So this second question of mine, why might I want to enlist in God's army? Why might I want to do that? Well, we're on the winning side. We follow a successful military commander. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of armies, one of the names of God. And it's our privilege that we, not only is our commanding officer a successful military leader, he invites us to share with him in his victory in our lives. I'm just getting used to turning around and seeing where things are. I normally look to the side, but look, that's fine. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Now, question is, what is a triumph? There is a screen that brings the next one on. There should be, yeah. So there we go. So there's a depiction of a Roman general who won a great victory for Rome. And a triumph was the highest award the Roman Empire, the Senate of the Roman Empire, could award a victorious general or commander who'd done some outstanding feat of, you know, winning battles, gaining extra territory, whatever. And he would be, for a day, part of a day, drawn by 2 white horses in a chariot through the streets of Rome, while all the people come out and shout and celebrate and praise him and wave banners and all sorts of things like that. And in the train behind him in the chariot would be all the spoils of war, well, selections of them. You can see one just in the front there, someone holding up, that person in white holding up that vessel. And there would be slaves, captured armies. There would be perhaps exotic animals, not native to Italy, you know, baboons, whatever, tigers, in the train. And everybody would be celebrating. As a matter of interest, just as a matter of interest, I just find this interesting, not connected to this, but the general would have with him, it's not shown there, in the chariot, a young boy. And it was the job of this boy to keep saying to the general, "Memento te homine." Do you know what that means? Remember, you're only a man. It's part of the Roman mindset that they didn't want people getting bigger than their boots. Of course, some of the Roman emperors decided that they were gods later on, so it didn't really work. But the question is, or the point is, Paul says, thanks be to God who always leads us in a in triumphal procession in Christ. Now, where are you in that procession? Where am I? Whereabouts do you think we are? A lot of Christians would say, well, I'm in the procession, probably somewhere down the line. Well, you're not. You're actually up with the general in the chariot. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 and verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Why might I want to enlist to this army? Well, look at the position that I'm in. Not only is my general, my CO, my commanding officer, not only has he completely destroyed the power of the enemy, but I'm also seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My position is a place of victory. How do I receive that? How do I receive that? How does that become real? You know the key? Faith. Trust. You just have to accept it. That's the position you're in. I don't know if some people this morning, if your mind's being opened to this, that this is where you're seated today. This is your status. What does it look like to be in triumph, in victory? This is kind of my third question that I introduced on that second slide. What are the benefits of army life? What does it look like? Well, several things, and we'll go through them quickly. The next slide, please. The first is, I'm not afraid of death, because Jesus has destroyed the power of death by his death and resurrection on the cross. And if you're afraid of death, you don't need to be. The second thing is that I'm not afraid or controlled by demonic spirits. I'm surprised sometimes when I talk to people round about, not in church as such, but people that have dabbled in dark things, the occult, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and things like that, and how these things have had a dramatic and in some cases devastating effect on their lives. A darkness, a depression has descended upon them. Of course, the Bible says in Acts 10 about Jesus, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. And if you're someone who's had a history of involvement in any occult practice or anything in your past, you can come out of that. You can come into the light of the light of the life of God. Another thing is that, and I think this is pretty key, the next thing is that, what are the benefits of army life? What does it look like to be in victory? I think the next thing, I feel loved and accepted by God. I think for me, the distinctive thing, the most awakening thing, the thing that struck me most when I became a Christian and the Holy Spirit came into me, was I experienced God's unconditional love for me. And I didn't have to patch myself up, make myself good until I was at a certain standard before God would accept me. He accepted me, lock, stock and barrel, how I am. And he poured his love into my life. And it's been there ever since. And it's been the greatest motivating force over my life. And so, what does it look like? This God army life, I feel loved and accepted. Next thing, I'm not controlled by guilt or shame. We've all done things wrong in our lives. But if I am living under the weight of mistakes, perhaps wrong things done to me, wrong things done to you, if I'm living under the weight of those things, they can be crippling. Feel condemned and under a dark cloud. Well, if I'm in the army, the benefits of army life, I'm not controlled in that way. Next thing, I can attain and maintain a positive outlook to my life. I'll go through problems. I'll have this issue and that issue. But somehow I've got a capacity to work through those because God is with me. Almighty God is on my side. And he gives me grace upon grace upon grace to find solutions and to find answers. And I get lifted. I get lifted. I get lifted. I get lifted. There's a darkness, but the darkness goes. I get lifted. And you don't stay down. And some people are dogged by a perpetual depression, a perpetual negativity over their lives that cripples you. But we share in the victory of Jesus. We're up in the chariot. We're not in the train. We're not with the slaves. We're elevated, seated in with Christ in heavenly places, in him. Attain and maintain a positive outlook, an aspect to life. Next thing, I have success, perhaps some success. How's that? I have success in controlling my lusts and wants. I can do it. I can do that. I can exercise self-control. Now, I suppose we're all on a journey here. I suppose my biggest problem is food. I love food. And And we were all having a laugh the other day, right? Because 30 years ago, I got up in church, right? Confession, okay? Got up in church in Lincoln, in front of John Shelburne and John Phillips, who's now gone to be with the Lord at last. And I got there. Well, I just want to say, praise the Lord, God has delivered me from double deckers. The only snag is, I then went on to all the other forms of chocolate there are in the world and haven't stopped still. So we're all on a journey here. But I tell you what, I am not going to, I don't want to be overweight. I'm not going to be overweight, and I'm going to get there. That's just a personal little thing for me. Next thing. I'll get off that quick. I can and I am living a holy life. I can't remember who it was. I said this to Joe this morning or the other day. And it's this. It says, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates body, soul, and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. What a lovely scripture that, isn't it? What a lovely scripture. I'm able to live straight, you know. Make mistakes, but you know what? I bounce back, and I can do this. Can do this thing. I can be holy. The next thing, I can pray and get answers. You know, if you're in a platoon, an army detachment, the last thing you want is a spare part there with you. You know, you want somebody who can shoot a machine gun, who can back you up in conflict. You don't want somebody who's just hanging around. And I think to live in victory is someone who, well, I know, God's come into my life, I know him, he's changed my life, and he's directing me, and he's showing me what he wants me to do, and you know what, I can pray, and I know God, I can pray, and he, and I get answers. The answer might be no, but you know it's no. You know you're making a difference. And then a really important one is if I'm in victory. Next one. I'm just checking that it's there. Thank you. I have forgiven those who hurt me. If you're in victory, if you can't forgive, you're not in victory. You're not sharing the triumph of Jesus. You know, I can, the persons that have hurt me, I can let it drop. I don't want to tell people about what they did to me anymore. The atmosphere doesn't change when I'm with that person. I can just let it drop. Is that you? If not, God wants to bring you into victory. And just one final thing I would say. Am I in victory? What are the benefits of army life? Am I up with Christ in that chariot sharing in his triumph? And what it will look like is that basically you will say, I would consider that I'm free from unforgiveness, from any bitterness. I'm free. I know where I'm going. I've got hope in my heart. I'm not being overwhelmed. And I know God is with me and he'll support me in whatever I go through, good or bad. Do you know what? I'm not fearing that. I'm not living in fear. But I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful. Because God is with me. God is with us. How do we join then? Maybe it's whet your appetite. Well, they say the military life's not for everyone. How do I join? And here's the fascinating thing. Coming on to the next slide. Victory is achieved through defeat. Having disarmed the powers and authority, he made a public spectacle of them. This is Jesus, triumphing over them by the cross. In a sense, he was defeated, wasn't he? He was tied up. He was nailed to a cross. He surrendered his life. And that was when the devil was crushed. His life given over. And we're followers of Christ. And so to enlist in his army, we have to go through the same process. And Paul writes this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the key to victory, the cornerstone in it all, is giving up your life, your will, to do his will, isn't it? It's been said before. That's the key to victory. And so we would ask this question this morning. It's good, this PA system, isn't it? Makes a loud noise. Military life, are you ready to enlist? Next slide, please. Are you ready to enlist? What's required of me if I want these things? What do I have to do? So the first thing there is, and just a few more points and then we're coming to the end of this. What's required of me? It's required of me that I have confidence in my commanding officer. And some people hold off committing their life, surrendering their life to the Lord, because they're not sure that really, can I do that? I don't know that I can commit myself fully to the Lord, give myself to God. I don't know if he's really that good. And I was preaching last week at Immingham, and there was a pastor in the congregation from Tiverton Street. Ray Derbyshire. And I had a chat with him afterwards, and I was just chatting to him. And in the course of my conversation, he said, do you know what? He said, one thing that I'm absolutely clear on with God is that God is just straight. He's just absolutely down the line. What he says he does, he keeps his promises. He's absolutely true as a plumb line or as a laser beam. And the one person that you can trust is the Lord in your life. Oh, thank you. So I'm standing here today. You know, I have great confidence. I mean, I have confidence in David. He's the CEO of this place. Great confidence. But getting back to the Lord, I have great confidence in the Lord. That he's not going to let me down. And he's with me. So I just wonder today, have you got confidence in God? Have you given, have you surrendered your life fully to him? You need to have confidence in your CEO to do that. The next thing is that I need to be prepared to follow orders. If you don't, you're in trouble, aren't you? You're in trouble because of possible punishment. You get thrown into, get given jankers. But also you could let your fellow soldiers down. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I say. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Is he Lord of yours? And the third thing is, I'm wary. In an army, in a military situation, I am wary of disobeying orders. Do you know why? I fear the consequences. And tell you why I don't like sinning. I mean, I feel conscience stricken when I'm tempted. I'm constantly tempted with all sorts of things, but I feel conscience stricken. But also there's a sense in, you know, look, I know who I'm dealing with here. This is Almighty God. These are eternal issues. And I don't feel fear to God. I just feel love for God. I just know his love. But I do fear doing wrong things. I do fear stealing, lying. And I'm wary of disobeying. And one thing I think we miss in the Western church sometimes is a sense of the fear of God, that one day we'll be judged. It's true. It's true. You can't live a double life. You can't be in the army and a civilian at the same time. Paul says, someone in the army doesn't get involved in civilian affairs. You've got to be single-minded. And the next thing is, retreat. Retreat is not an option. Going back. You see, you're either in it wholeheartedly or you're not in it at all. You won't get in the army if you're not totally committed to your call, totally committed to where you're going and what you're doing. And the interesting thing is that the armor that David was reading out about, the armor, you're fully protected from the front, but at the back there was no armor. And if you turn tail and run, you probably get a spear in your back. Retreat is not an option. And some people sign up for this, you know. They think church is a club. It's just something I tag on to what I do. As far as God's concerned, you're not a member, if that's the case. It's wholehearted enlisting. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not turning back. Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And the next thing is, what's required of me? It's reliance on my fellow soldiers, on my comrades. We need each other. And the next picture shows you a particular formation that the soldiers took up, which was called the testudo or tortoise formation. And no arrow, no spear could get through there when they linked shields together. They were virtually invincible. Do you know, the Roman army was one of the most successful armies in the history of warfare in the world. And they knew how to stand together to protect one another. You see, you might not need me, but I do know I need you. And we need each other. Because we're actually in a war against forces of darkness. And then the last thing is, what's required of me is, well, if necessary, it's to the death. And I'd like to just finish with one reading about a person, a man, who was in total victory, and yet he died. So I'm in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked people, this is Stephen talking to the religious leaders. Your hearts and ears are uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels and not obeyed it. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, the crowd covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him. Now, who's in victory here? Is it the mob? Is it the man? Dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, who was miraculously converted sometime later. Paul, who wrote many of the epistles, letters. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, and what about this? What about this? Is this forgiveness or what? Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. That guy was in total victory. But he lost his life. See, life isn't everything. There's something higher and more important than your just living here. It's who do you serve? Who's your CO? It's appointed for man and woman to die once. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. So, there we are. I'm just going to pray for us in a minute. And in a minute, not yet, I'm going to ask us to stand. And I wonder if the worship team could just come back. the army. How does this, if the worship team could come and begin to play something of your choice, that would be tremendous. So are you free today? Are you a person, would you describe your life as free? As I described. And what about being in the army of God? Is that something you'd considered? Is it something you are a part of now? Is it something that you want to do? I'll give you an opportunity in a minute to join. So, I wonder if we could stand, if you would please. And I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these different pictures of your people. We thank you for the different emphases on each one. Lord, as we are just considering here the army of God, thank you, Lord, you're a mighty warrior. You're a man of war. Thank you, Lord, that your greatest victory was the death of your son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sakes. Thank you, you've defeated the enemy in our lives. And I just pray for each one of us here, Lord, today. Just pray for any who may be afraid of death, have been involved in the demonic in any way. Pray for any who have not yet tasted the love of God. Any who are controlled by guilt or shame. Any who, their life is unhappy. Their life is unhappy. I believe there are people in here, you say, my life is unhappy. And I just want to direct you to the Lord Jesus today. He says, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. If you're saying you're unhappy, I've been unhappy in my life. But taste and see what God can do for you as you come to him. Well, I need to get a hold of this in my life. I need to control myself. I need to be able to control this. This is out of control in my life. And we're here to bless you and help you in your life, that you can be successful in what you do. Say, well, I'd really like to be a part of this, but I don't know how. I had a word from God, I believe, at the Alpha Holy Spirit Day last Saturday. And it was simply these words, you can do it. You can do it. See, say, well, there's many things there that I'm not doing. Listen, the good news is God is, it's him who is leading you in that way. He's leading you in that triumphal procession. You may not be there yet, but he's moving in your life to lead you that way. You can do it. You can live a holy life. You can live above the line. You can know God. Life can work for you. And so, Heavenly Father, I just pray. I wonder if we could perhaps just, if you'd like to receive from the Lord this morning, if you'd just like to receive the Lord, you're just saying, Lord, I welcome you in my life. I'd like you to work in me. If that's you in any way, then why don't you just put your hands out? And I'll put my hand out with you. And just to say, Lord, I just need you in my life. In areas of self-control, in areas of self-discipline, I need you. You know how I need the Lord in this area. Lord, so we come to you, and Lord, just bless your people this morning, Lord. Just bless us as we come to you, that we might receive help in our time of need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come to people. Bless them, move in their hearts. For those who, if you've not received the love of God, oh, receive the love of God. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Spirit whom he has given to us. I pray that you would know the love of God in your life, be poured into you this morning. You say, well, I feel a bit of a spare part. I'm part of the army, I'm eternal, but I don't really feel a part of things. Oh, God wants you to be a part of his detachment, part of his army, part of what he's doing. Bless you in that. Lord, we do give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.